Hello, and welcome to What a Jazz Podcast. I'm your host, Elze Wisniewskite, and today I sit down to talk with a truly inspiring dancer from Barcelona, Claudia Fonte. We talk about the joy of taking classes. In fact, we recorded the interview just after taking some solo jazz classes together at Swim Out Festival. We also talk about personal expression, finding versus connecting to yourself, and what does that mean in dance and in life. Claudia shares her way of artistic explorations and practices, also her feelings about competitions and her love for improvisation. She also talks about embracing her queer identity and the importance of representation in dance community and, of course, in life. It's a very open and honest conversation between the two of us, and I feel very honored that Claudia shared her personal experiences and what she's currently going through in her life. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did, and without further ado, put your hands together for Claudia Fonte. Hello.
Hello.
So we are just after a class.
Yeah, two sweaty classes.
Two sweaty solo classes at Swim Out. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can start with that. How do you feel taking classes?
Oof, I love it.
You love it?
Yeah, it's like Christmas, you know? It's like, it's not that I love Christmas, but the moment of presence. Yeah, whenever I can, if I go for work or I go for a festival, just to enjoy, classes are part of it, to take, I mean. So it gives me so much to think and so much to, yeah, so much noise in my head that I love it.
Thanks.
So, yeah, and a lot of sweat, which also I love it a little bit, I have to say.
Yeah, it's really good to see. I've been observing you a little bit in the class today, yesterday, but it's just nice because I feel like you're really engaged. You know, I think sometimes when you're teaching and then you're taking classes, there's, at least for me, sometimes there's a bit of like this insecurity of what's my role, you know, switching from being like teacher sometimes and then being in this solo class. I'm like, oh, you know, should I just not fail? How many risks can I take? Sometimes I get in my head a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it was nice because it seemed like you're really just going for it, you know?
Oh, not thinking it's the moment to fail. It's the moment to practice and practice. Yeah, I think I've heard some people in the past saying, oh, but if you're a teacher, you shouldn't or you don't need to. And I'm like, come on, actually, I need more. So it's part of my learning, of course, and of my growing. So I think we all have to be responsible for it, even more if you are then sharing. So keep growing and yeah, like my role in the class is always to be in the class and take as much as I can for my own process. And yeah, I think, it's just so enjoyable to, it gives me a lot of space for me to think, you know, when I'm teaching, I'm thinking, but I have to go for certain goals, no? Like to achieve certain things, not only in the content, but in the atmosphere and the energy in the class and stuff. And here I don't have this charge, but I have a charge of doing the process in the class. So it's very enjoyable for me. It's the key to keep on.
Yeah. One thing for me that is really nice taking classes is seeing how different teachers are and dancers are, of course. Mm. But everyone like has their own way, their own favorite thing to do and kind of presence. You know, some people are a bit more calm, some come and they're like, boom.
Yeah.
But it all can work. You know, there's not like one way you need to be to deliver the dance in the best way.
Yeah, I think at the end, I think it's a bit the spirit, let's say, your mindset with jazz, I think. So I always believed in the uniqueness or finding your own voice when it comes to jazz, jazz music, jazz dance. So that's the individuality, but without being alone, so sharing. That's, I think, the fundamental. And so when having classes, you can enjoy this again and say like, oh yeah, so we are all super different. This says, I don't like routines. And this one says, I don't like explorations. Like, great, you know, and it's not just the truth. It's just path to take.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of homework to take home, to think and to formulate ways of exploring and growing and yeah, designing, composing your things. So it's a lot.
And you're someone that really has, I think, or at least seem to have been working on this uniqueness in your own style and your own language of dance.
Uh-huh.
How was that process?
Oof. Once upon a time, no. I mean, I got the question of like, how did you get that style or how did you do that? And I would say, to be very honest, not thinking about it. I don't think about having a style. I don't think about looking that way or the other way. I think about being myself. And that's something that I find also very interesting when it comes to dancing, because we are ourselves in life. We are in ourselves when we go to work, when we are sharing with friends, with family, going for whatever. So you are always yourself in different ways. But then you go into a dance class, and what I feel is that we are trying to find ourselves the whole time. And at the end, it's like you're ready yourself. And I always say, and to myself, and of course in class, if I have the opportunity to remind that you need to feel comfortable with what you do and be connected with yourself in a physical but also emotional way. So you don't need to find yourself again, because you're already there, and that's super precious, no? It's like something very powerful. And I think, yeah, I've practiced a lot, and of course I've recorded myself. I don't use mirrors, to be honest, because then I feel that for different reasons, but I feel that then the point comes more like from the outside in, like it's more the focus of how do I look like, and that distracts me a lot, and I'm never happy. Like, let's say, yes, I'm happy or satisfied, but not always 100%. So, yeah, I prefer not to put the focus there. And also because my dance becomes very flat, it's like in a two dimensions kind of a style, and I don't like that. I like to, if my body weight brings me back and forth, I want to explore that, or in diagonals or stuff like this. So yeah, for example, mirrors could be, if I have to be specific, one of the, how did I get there, or mirrors is not my tool, for example. But also not thinking too much about it, and thinking about more how do I feel when I do it, when I'm dancing to fast music, to slow music, to that style, to the other. So, yeah, feeling comfortable. So then I'm myself the whole time.
But that's interesting, because maybe then, because, you know, like hopefully people are kind of know who they are and they're comfortable with that. I think a lot of people are not. And then when you go dancing and you learn to dance, of course, in the beginning, it's hard because you're just like, you're not even focusing on who you are. It's like learning something. But at some point, you have to bring yourself to the dance.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes if you don't really know who that you is in life, or it's very, you know, if you're a bit lost in general, then it's also hard to bring that in the dance. And it's kind of like a process that maybe can go hand in hand. Yeah. Or maybe you work more in your life but less in your dance, or the opposite. But I feel like these things can kind of affect each other.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of that this process also keep changing. Even if you think you know who you are here or there, life changes. And it can be a lot of changes or more steady moments. But ideally, you're growing, you're evolving, you're taking from your experience. So dancing wise, you also change. And doesn't mean that you progress or no progress, but you are evolving somehow. And yeah, so I think it's okay to feel lost or not comfortable. It's part of the process, and it's needed, I would say, for them. When you feel it, boom, you got it, you own it. Yeah, I think it's a never ending, luckily, process, and it's and it's something to enjoy. Sometimes it's something to fight with or against too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from a healthy perspective, I would say always.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you notice your own personal change in the years you've been dancing? Like how the dance affect you in that journey?
Yeah. I mean, the whole time. Sometimes I've been more aware, sometimes less. Personally, right now, I feel changing a lot in different ways. I mean, I'm still myself, I think. Mm. No, yeah, of course. But yeah, there are things that are changing, and when my personal life changes, and even the way to relate to my body can be changed, so the way I move changes. Also, I think, you know, when we say we are transitioning to this or transitioning to that, yeah, there is a lot of movement in general, mm-hmm. in the dance now. Now, but before as well, in another way. So I would like to stop thinking about transitioning, for example, from one spot to the other one. I think more that we are constantly changing and evolving and going, not somewhere, but just going. And taking and sharing. So for going back to the question, right now I feel that when I dance, especially when I'm improvising solo dancing, I am myself 100%, and I don't feel the obligation of doing certain things that before I could feel. Mm-hmm. It was maybe my story in my head, but I also heard from people. And so right now I feel more like, boom, this is me. I'm changing my dancing and my approach to it, without being very specific, but from the feeling, really. Mm-hmm. You know, so very liberating.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be like this always. no idea yet, but hopefully.
What's your kind of relation to solo and partner dance? Like maybe how you came to do both, and do you have like a stronger feeling towards one and wanting to do more of
yes.
that?
You can yes.
Say solo?
Yeah, why not? Okay, if you insist. of course, yeah. I mean, solo has been always my comfort zone.
Mm.
For me in jazz, I can be myself again. About me being myself, I think dancing is another expression. Like when we speak, when we think, when you move, when you dance. So it's a part of you. And when I'm solo dancing, it's 100% me. Sometimes it can be better or worse, but still it's me. Mm. Partner dancing, I think, is not my comfort zone yet. I'm working on it. And yes, I'm having a lot of fun, but it's true that it's there is like different layers for me to work with, and sometimes it can be very different. But it's part of the challenge, and I love it. I love the challenge and the growing process. But solo is, I mean, being honest, it's just freedom and it's the best thing, but even more if you can share it with people. Mm. And you can jam with people, even the musicians or other dancers or Lindy Hop, people that are dancing Lindy Hop around me, when they don't kick to me, I don't kick to them. It could be also very inspiring. I try to take from that as well. But solo has been always the thing. I think, because when I started also, it's been now, I think, 15, 16 years. Mm-hmm. So when I was, it's half my life. So my parents were like, you're too young to dance with older people. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do tap dance then. So I was starting more with tap dance and going to parties where I didn't know anybody. And it was like the kid. So I was dancing a lot in solo, and yeah, I didn't want to wait, this kind of thing. Now everything has changed a lot, fortunately. But yeah, it was a bit, I think, the reason why. But then I'm so strong, feeling good in that way, in the solo, that maybe that's an excuse. And even if I started with Lindy Hop only, I would end up, I don't know, doing more solo again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's self-expression. It's not the routine only that makes me feel strong about it. But it's...
So you started as a kid with tap dance and then did solo? Or how did it evolve?
Yeah, it was like kind of overlapping because I was taking classes of tap dance. And then I was going to parties where I was allowed to go because I was underage. So I was going to parks and stuff. And I think my learning process was kind of intuitive. I was asking people to teach me. I was like, nobody knows me, so let's go. But I was also taking a lot from what I saw. And I think that also helped a lot after to grow. Because you need to feel or you need to listen a lot to the music. You need to watch a lot, to look at details and to pay attention to many things. But it's true that then I was in a party and I was like, okay, but I want to dance. The music is so good. So I was in front of the band just dancing. Like if I was I've never been to yet, but like if I was in a Beyoncé concert, you know, I would be in front line if I could. I don't know. Yeah. It's a lot, Beyoncé, but you know, that feeling of vibrating with musicians, it's been always there. Yeah.
I mean, you're also, I think, lucky that you got to experience like live music from early age and being in those spaces that seem very dynamic rather than, you know, maybe just a studio space. Because a lot of people like just end up seeing like the studio version and maybe not so many social dances or live music. And then it takes a long time to get to that place where you kind of ended up at early on.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I always liked jazz music. I remember my father was playing it in the car and I liked it. It was not especially swing, but sometimes it was very close. So I kind of grew up a bit with this. So I remember at school, they were like, oh, but that's the music of my father or my uncle or my grandma. And I said, yeah, perfect. I love it. Good for them. But yeah, like I think live music was one of the things that set the fire on, you know, like it was like, yeah, that makes me, as I said, vibrate.
Yeah.
And it still lasts. And the studio part came after for me. It came like the practice thing was not a thing before, I think, at least in Barcelona where I grew up. So it came after, but more from an inner needs, like I wanted to practice more to understand that or to nail that rhythm or to, you know, that in socials I couldn't.
Yeah. It's interesting about practice. I heard this interview with Ejo Wilson. He's a house dancer. And he was saying that as dancers, we practice, we don't train. Athletes, they train.
Yeah.
But as artists, you practice your craft.
Uh-huh.
And it was so interesting because I think, I mean, not to get too much in the words, but I like that idea, you know, because it's like we use, I think, both. People use it both. We got to train. We got to train for this competition. We got to nail some routine or something.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of practicing, as you were saying, of like searching for things, you know, like exploring more than this is my end goal.
Yeah, I think the artistic part should always be there. I know it's very abstract and it sounds very nice, but what I mean is to be able to, again, connect with yourself and expressing it. You can be very specific as well and say expressing it with different musics or different tempos or different types of movement. But you can also be very artistic if you take it as practice, maybe more than repeat and train and, you know, I mean, to be honest with you and the rest, to be honest, I'm quite a nerd with rhythms. So I play the metronome in my practice time and I think it's needed, but needed in a way that as dancers, we need music for dancing. So we also need to take the responsibility of learning about it. It's not a musician's thing only. Since we are dancing, so we dance, we practice, we don't train. So we also need to, I think, in this type of practice, this time of practice, you also need to learn about the music. And I think taking the responsibility of rhythm, for example, which talking about swing music is what it is. It's about rhythms. So you need to be also responsible for that. And for me, doesn't mean that everybody needs to play metronome, otherwise they are bad people. I'm not saying that. And no, but I think at least for my experience, it's been very rich, and it helped me a lot to be with myself. Like, okay, that's wrong. That's wrong again. Okay, it looks like it could work. Wrong again. Now I got it. You know. So I think I personally need this right and wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I could get lost.
And it's all tools we have for practice. Mm. You know, like. You don't use mirrors. Maybe someone will use mirrors. Someone uses metronome. Yeah. But it's all, I think, tools that you can pick as long as you want what works for you, rather than maybe like, oh, these are all the tools that we all need to use, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But do you think that, do you see enough artistic exploration?
I mean, one of the things that goes a bit out of the question, I think, but one of the beauty, I think, of this dance is that... again, it's individuality. So we are different and we can express ourselves if we follow a bit the basis of jazz music. The musicians always talked about self-expression and emotions. And so I think what I mean by this is that each of us, we are kind of allowed, let's say, to have our own routines. So it's not that we have first position, second position, third, fourth.
Yeah.
It's not that we all need to have the same routine, but we can practice in many ways. But it's true that I think it's kind of easy to go and train, because it's about more executing focus, right? So... of course, there is a thinking process, but it's more like a repetition mode of practicing. And it's without undervaluing it, but dance is not only this. That's why it's dancing and it's not sports only. Mm. It's a type of sport, we could say, but it's very different. So anyways, going back to the thing... personally, I miss a little bit of artistic exploration, artistic growth.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot blame anybody. I think it's my own responsibility to go for it.
Yeah.
And I respect that people go and train and do and undo and drills and stuff. I think they are needed, but they are not the only thing. So I would like to see this, like to know about different ways of, how do you say, push artistically, Lindy Hop and jazz in general, and like jazz, solo jazz, or like jazz dance in general. Like how would we push it artistically, like on stage or on concepts? I think, to be honest right now, okay, I'm gonna say it. to be honest, at the moment, I feel a bit limited with classes. It's like classes are the kind of the maximum exponential of sharing what you do. Of course, you can perform, but for example, for instance, it's been a while. I've been thinking, you go to an event, I always try to perform because I love it. It's like a moment to express my work and to express my thoughts and myself.
Yeah.
And sharing it with other people. And I feel like, for example, I've never been asked, like, how would you like me to introduce, like, what is, like, for example, are you performing a piece or like, are you doing anything that you would like that we share some story around it? It's like, no, we play that song and that's a tempo and that's it. And it's an improvisation or mixed improvisation routine or, you know, so it's a bit limited in that way. But again, I'm not blaming anybody. I think it's about starting to change oneself and then maybe keep it or leave it.
Do you think that's like the organizer? Events, how we organize them, that would change for you to like maybe have that freedom to like present different things and explore different things.
The main format that we have nowadays, I think it works and it's good and it takes a lot of work. But I dream sometimes of like, could be cool to have one evening of presentations of like performances, you know? And then party, of course, and improvisation, and because that's what it is about. But I also dream sometimes like, could be cool to see what other people do that is not in class only. You know, or is not in one song, but something else. I don't know. I don't have an answer yet. I don't have an idea, but it's true that I have thoughts about it.
Yeah.
And when I have thoughts, I usually go for it. So we will see.
Like in the Stockholm Tap Festival, they do one night. This is always the gala night. And they book a theater and city center. And then teachers, they do, I mean, it's a little bit similar to what we do. It's like, you know, they have demos or they have, sometimes it's improvised, but you have a live band and then they do impros or some routines. But it's kind of like the whole night of that. Like it's like a 1 hour and maybe, you know, and a bit show. And you come to this theater and it's like tap on stage and also people from the city can come. And it's kind of like a similar format, but like the energy is very different. And you come to see this dance on stage, you know, and it already changes a little bit.
It's true that maybe atmosphere. That's... Yeah, I agree. And maybe that happens as well because to make a party of tap dance could be a bit painful. Like too much sound, not noise, but too much sound going on. Yeah, like I was this summer, I took my first contemporary classes. Some people ask me, like, did you do contempo before? And I was like, no idea. And now I can say no. Just, I mean, yes, I did some. But that's it. I don't know if I'm going to go back. It was very, very hard.
Why not?
Very hard. It was very interesting, but very hard. So, and it was like an academic dance environment. And they had one evening for performances. But it's true that I was thinking also and telling to my girlfriend, I was like, but it's true that there is no parties of contemporary dance, for example. I mean, that could be interesting, right?
Yeah.
But... there is not such a thing. And in swing music, we have the luxury of having this environment that is the fundamental, is the party, is the moment. So to put it on a stage, it requires another mindset, I think.
That's true.
But I think it's not against one from the other. And yeah, I think that could be.
And maybe also it could be, because for me, it would be interesting to just see more different things happening. It doesn't have to be different festivals, you know, because it's like when we think of a festival format, like taking one night only for performances seems quite a luxury. But maybe like even locally, you know, seeing things that, like, and we think about that in Lithuania, and people are experimenting with putting like shows and performances. There's so many things you can do apart from class, social, maybe live band and a party like that, where you can do it locally, you know, you don't have to have like a festival for that. And it's already like starting, you know, to change its face, and people come from outside and they don't only see it as only like, oh yeah, I saw you dance in the park.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the dance from the park.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, I mean, it doesn't need to be in a big scale. I talk about the festival because I was like, it's cool to expose also yourself in not at home, you know, like... Even, I don't know, I was imagining that maybe one of the nights, like a pre-party thing.
Yeah.
You could have 1-2 hours of performances. Like, doesn't need to be long pieces, but just performing, and people would go paying extra things, like an extra fee, sorry, and then enjoy the art form in another way.
Yeah.
And then, boom, party, you know, like you have a bit of both, not yeah, but again, it's I don't have my ideas still. My ideas still they are moving all the time, so so anyways.
And what about competitions?
It's like a love and hate relationship, kind of. I would say first I love them. I love the challenge in general. It makes me grow. mm-hmm. and learn about myself and learn about a lot of things. So just for that, I would say yes. But it's true that, again, it can bring the mindset of training. Mm-hmm. Train. So I think it's like a thin line in there. But personally, I'm in a moment right now that I have fun mm-hmm. performing. And again, I can be myself. Mm-hmm. I feel that is, I don't know, time ago, I mean, still now, I hear comments that like what you do is not the thing or is another thing. You're too different. You don't do our thing. No? Like, maybe because I don't put vocabulary or, and I understood and I did my work and I still own it always. Mm-hmm. But now I feel more accepted. Let's say I am myself and people appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I think I've been myself always, but before I was trying to achieve certain things, you know, mm-hmm. ticking boxes, like, okay, I did this move, therefore now I can do one of my moves or like...
Right.
But I feel that nowadays, I don't know, maybe it's me that I've changed my perspective, but also is I'm doing what I do and I think it's kind of more appreciated either from my side, but also from the outside. Mm-hmm. So I feel more comfortable competing, maybe that's why.
How did that change? Like, is it after, you know, you win enough and then you get like some sort of, you know, moment, you're like, okay, I'm good now? Or how did that change?
No, actually, I don't relate it to that because first prizes I don't usually get. Mm. I think people maybe tend to think that, man, no, if maybe I can place, that's true, but no, it's not that I win. I mean, I think it's more in like the atmosphere, like it feels that nowadays a lot of things start to be accepted, more variety, more self-expression, mm-hmm. again, right? So it feels like being you and being different now it's good. And I mean, I think it's been always like this, but not enough. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's like, yeah, that's too much exploratory things. So I don't understand. So no, I don't. And I've talked to people like judges and like people who are judging and other, yeah, like friends and not that friends. And yeah, like it's interesting, but at the end it's a personal process. Mm. And it's not because I've won more or less. Mm. I think it's more like I go, I do what I feel. I mean, I do my best, I try, but it's also myself, it's a version of me. And I'm starting to be like, I don't care about the result. But honestly, I know that people say that and we said it many times in life. Like, yeah, the important is the process. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now really, like, I'm trying like to be very connected. I was talking with someone this weekend as well. Like, they were asking me, but what do you think when you go there in the spotlight? And I'm like, just being very connected and very myself. I try not to pretend, I don't plan. Mm-hmm. I can have ideas like if the previous person did something very in footwork, I try not to, you know, for mm-hmm. also kind of respect, but also for not doing the same. So I could have ideas or how is the space, if I have to move more or less. But yeah, I just want to be honest with myself. And so when I finish lately, when I finish the competition, I'm like, yeah, actually, I can be more or less happy, but that was me. That's it. Mm. I mean, judges are going to judge.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm happy when, for example, the finalists are different.
Yeah.
And we are not similar in terms of style and concepts. But then once you're there, that's it. You do you and celebrate it.
Yeah. And with the feedback, because it sounds like you've reached out to people for feedback. Are you good with taking feedback? Because that takes, you know, like asking for feedback, you kind of have to be, I think, quite strong to take it and process it in your own ways.
Well, I reached out also because I've heard of people talking. So I reach out, saying, hey, can you be honest with me? Like, what did you see? Or, and just to know, because even if we are, if we are unique and all this stuff, like, being ourselves, but again, if these people are judging you weekend and weekend and weekend after, you know, like they are judging you continuously, I'm interested to know their opinion. I cannot change much my dancing, but I can also sometimes test, like, am I going very far away from what I'm supposed to? Or so, for example, one of the like, for me, a reference that I've been asking to and talking to since the beginning is Remy. Like, he was my reference as a dancer since the beginning. When I started, I was like, I don't care if he's a man, if he's a leader. For me, he's home. When he talks, I'm like, yeah, I understand you 100%. And I feel so comfortable that, of course, it's a lot of effort in the class, but I don't know. I feel very, very familiar. And, and so, yeah, I know that he can be very honest as well. And I like that. And yeah, we spoke about these things also with people that I'm not that close. And yeah, at the end, it's like, okay, I keep doing my thing. But there were some times I remember that a specific thing that people are always worried about being different. No, I want to be myself. I want to be this. I want to look like this or that. And for me, I had the opposite feeling. I was like, maybe I need to look more like the other people. Maybe I need to, maybe I'm going too much somewhere that is, I'm going to be alone there. It's like, yeah, cool, but it's not my goal. I want to be, I like the language. I like the swing music. Jazz is something that makes me live. So I don't want to go too far. But yeah, I mean, if I take good feedback or not, I mean, once I ask, I take it. And then what I do with it is another thing, you know, but it's good to, I think it's always interesting to hear.
Was there a feedback that you remember, let's say from Remy or from someone else that really guided you, maybe still guides you or stuck with you?
I think even with Remy, yeah, I mean, he was giving me some clues, like, maybe you can try this, maybe you can try that, maybe. But at the end, it was like, it all always comes down to be yourself. And if you like it, if you feel good doing it, do it. You know, and it really went down to that. But it's true that sometimes it was like, maybe you need to listen to older music, or maybe you need to do this type of more work on precision or more work on this. But there's a point that is like, okay, now continue being yourself and enjoy. And also, I mean, at the end, feedback, it's someone's opinion, which can be value. The value is down to me. I mean, I decide the value I give to that opinion. So, I've heard many things like, you are not swinging, or you are too much this, too much that, like very. So sometimes I was like, maybe I give up, you know, there was points like, that's not my thing. And, but I mean, I kept going when I like something. Yeah. It's hard to let it go. So, but I don't want it to sound negative. Like it was all positive process.
But when you judge, for example, at this point now where you are, what do you look for, and what actually, what do you appreciate in dancers?
Okay, so there we go. I think judges or audience in general, when you look at someone that is dancing, usually at the moment the competitions that we have mainly still is like still, or it's been like this for a long time. In solo you have spotlights when there is only one dancer. Now there's also battles, but usually it's improvisation based. I want to believe. So you can kind of perceive or feel if they are there or not.
Being present.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the word for me, like being present, being connected with themselves, being aware where they are, like with their body, if the body is responding or is the head responding. Mm-hmm. And so when I see someone that is breathing and like breathing like entirely, like whatever they feel, whatever they want to do when they are there, for me, it's like, yeah, that turns me on. You know, it's like, yeah, I got that. That's for me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can see you. You are honest with us, right? Mm-hmm. And again, makes me vibrate. And so about the style, really, like, it's not something I can judge because I like when someone is someone. Mm-hmm. And if I see the silhouette, it's like, oh yeah, that's that person. That was that competitor, that one. So the style for me doesn't change if they are more familiar to me or less. Mm-hmm. But it's the presence. Like, are you here with us or are you with yourself? Like, are you dancing? Mm. Yeah. That's for me something I value a lot because I'm also on it. And when you touch it, it's so amazing.
It's powerful. Yeah.
That is like, I wish that, yeah.
And it's interesting because in solo, I think we have way more improvisation in competitions. Mm. Maybe because of the battle format or I don't know. But like, I think usually people improvise. Again, I want to believe too.
Yeah.
But let's say in Lindy Hop, in Strictly's,
yeah,
it's mainly choreos at this point, right?
Mm.
Do you think that changes that presence and being present and showing who you are?
I mean, personally, in Strictly, I'm not an expert. I mean, I've been only in one final, I think, or two. And it's not something that moves me a lot, to be honest. I appreciate the routine work, like when you choreograph something. Mm-hmm. There is a whole work that behind that is very valuable as well. But it's true that if you dance into live music and you choreographing something without knowing the tune, could be cool at least to be present with the music and musicians. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole skill, you know, and I don't know, I cannot say because I haven't been watching a lot because, again, it's not something that moves me a lot nowadays. But, yeah, I feel like the improvisation could be more powerful in that way. But, again, when I perform the routine, I can be also very present because I know my speech. Mm-hmm. So I can react to things because I know what to say, you know? But, again, when I'm improvising, I don't have the speech, so it could be more freedom, even.
Yeah.
So it depends how you... I love improvisation, so...
Yeah.
What can I say?
Talking about love.
Talking about love, yeah.
Talking about love. If you'd like to share a little bit about your journey of identity and queerness.
Queerness? Identity? Yeah, I mean, there is a lot, again... I think that it's coming in the dance compared to before, which I mean, maybe it's a personal thing, but before I was not that aware. Mm. And right now I see it more and more. Maybe it's because now I'm aware of it. Certain things, I'm more sensitive to certain things. And this thing of being identified and in the scene or working with a girl, being in my personal life with a girl also, like I've heard already comments, you know, like, oh, you're a queer follower now. And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't know. Thank you. Also, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I think all this process, I was saying that I'm growing a lot and learning. This is part of it for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty new in this, so I don't think I'm the person I can just talk about my experience. And I think it's true that representation is something that before I was like, yeah, it's important, but I mean, it's not basic. I mean, it's not fundamental, I would say. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's very important. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad that I realize it now. So I'm not that happy mm-hmm. for that, because I feel like whenever that a topic touches you, then you react. It's kind of, then you're late, you know?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think it's important to feel represented. And if I have the opportunity to give that to people, I don't know exactly how, but if I can be that representation, I mean, I'm happy for it to contribute in that way, mm-hmm. like actively. But it's true that it's taking time for me. Like I'm learning and I'm discovering and thinking and again, thinking again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think in terms of identity, that doesn't change. Like she, her is my thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was also one thing is that I was the one surprised because it's the first time I'm with a woman. And yeah, it's like people were like surprised that it was like this. So it was just very funny, the conversation, like, come on. I expect some surprise from you, but no, I was the one surprised. So, and yeah, I'm so much in love that yeah, it's everything flows. So,
yeah. How it must be challenging to have a change in your life that was so new for you, and at the same time, be visible to overgo that change, you know, if people are around you also like, oh, what's happening?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, being honest, it took me a while to realize that I was in love with her. So, yeah, I mean, when they say, I was saying that too, and like I have friends that they changed the identity and they are now with us opposite, I mean, they changed a lot. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm 100% with it. Like, that's for me, that's not, you don't even have to tell me like a new, it's something you're in love. That's it. You're happy. Great. I mean, you know, like the typical comment like, I received from my family too. Are you happy? We're happy too. And anyways.
Yeah.
So sweet, but it's like, yeah, we're very far still. And I, when everything worked out, I was like, okay, I don't care if people know it. I mean, if I was with her, like, if you want to take it slowly, if you want to, I don't care because that's me. Mm-hmm. And people, if they don't embrace it, I'm sorry for them because I feel like they are kind of behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I'm so happy and I'm so sure of what I feel that it's, for me, that's the way. Otherwise I cannot exist. So it was more her like, well, but maybe people because you travel here and then. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on. They took me before. They are going to take me now. It was a change for me. Of course, it took me a while to realize like, yeah, that's happening. And before it was like, yeah, 100% with it. But when it happens to you, at least for me, it was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's your time. But then at the end, I was... Yeah, sometimes, like, I think before I was more shy.
Mm-hmm.
And with that time was like, I want to live my life. Like, I want to share my love because that's amazing. And yeah, it was, for me, that was not a difficult part at all to share it, or I wouldn't like to hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, so we are very happy to share. And,
mm.
But I mean, I don't think that we have to share more. Because there is a change, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's just like every other couple.
Mm-hmm. And with the representation, how do you think as a scene we can work on that?
So look, I think, I don't know, that's very personal, but I think representation, if we can be like, oh yeah, so you should be there because you are representing this or that. But at the same time, that can be also kind of lazy, right? Like, I'm there, I'm an image for this or that. Like, people judge what I'm an image for. I don't think that much about it. But I think before I was like, yeah, like, not making much of a difference. Like, we are humans, we have the same passion and we share that moment, that space, and we all respect each other, and be more is better, you know? Mm-hmm. But now I'm not 100% with it. I mean, it's not a radical change at all. But I think that not only representation, I mean, passive representation is needed, but also actively. So maybe talking right now mm-hmm. is also cool. I don't know if it's useful. I'm just sharing my personal life, but mm-hmm. People might feel like, oh yeah, I identify with this, I identify with that, because sometimes when you go for a song that, oh yeah, I would like a love song, and it's like, yeah, not represented here, not represented there. That doesn't sound right. Okay, mm-hmm. so maybe I'm not represented in music as much as I would like to, or mm-hmm. books, or TV, or films, or yeah, stuff. So I think representation is a thing. I don't have the answer of how. I'm up for trying, mm-hmm. but that means that it can be also wrong and yeah, overdone, or I don't know. Again, I'm very new, and being actively representing or thinking that way, so I don't have an answer, and but I'm open to try and to speak about it, and but yeah, I think it's more and more present, mm-hmm. or maybe that's what I see now, sadly, but I think also from other people, from what I heard, is that more and more present, and that makes me very happy. Hopefully I'm not alone.
Yeah.
But also, I wouldn't force any radical change. I think, or maybe, yeah, maybe it's needed. I don't know. You see, like, to have a change, you really need to go sometimes radical.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. But representation and minorities, let's say, is very important to have it in all the things. It's a part of life, as I said. You talk, you think, you dance, you move, right? So yeah. Also it's part of life. So, but I don't know exactly what should we change more than, yeah, representing, but I don't know. I'm on it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it also starts with all of these conversations in general, in the scene, with any representation of how do these spaces can feel more open, inviting, less strict in any rules of who does what, right?
Yeah.
Or like, how do you have to look even? But I think for me, there was a kind of like a similar journey in a way where I didn't want to put like labels, because I think, you know, when you know who you are, you don't necessarily want to like put a sticker on it for others. But I joined this group, which is, I don't know, is it Queer Lindy Hoppers or an ally, something like that. And I mean, I joined it for, I think, just looking to what's happening and kind of being as an ally as well. But like, I don't really identify as anything, but I'm attracted to men and women. And I joined this group with that kind of idea to just be part of something. And then I was talking to Adam Brzozowski and he was, you know, he was asking me about like, how do I identify and all of this. And I was a bit, you know, taken aback, because I never really felt this need to really, because also maybe in the scene, I haven't been in a relationship with a woman. So I never was in that moment of like, oh, okay, so I'll just dating women now. But then he also said like, yeah, if you have a label, let's say, that could be, you know, a nice way for other people to also feel a bit easier of like maybe coming out or being, you know, queer in the scene. So it really made me think of like, yeah, there's like one part that, you know, I think for me, it's like kind of resisting of like, well, but why was the difference, you know? But there is a difference for like,
I guess, and the tag is not forever. I mean, that can also change as you change in life. But it's true that I think tags, I was also on the same line than you, like, wow, we don't need to be like this. Like, it sounds very, again, radical, and I wanted always to think more in flowy ways of. But it's true that if we sometimes, if you don't tag then that doesn't exist. You know, if you don't give it a name, mm-hmm. this thing doesn't exist in you in that case, no? Or in your... because I heard that story, sorry, of like fear to poor people. Like there is this thing of fear to poor people. And there was a writer that gave it a name and talked about the importance in... Sorry, I don't have the references. Maybe I can send it later. I don't mm-hmm. know. But Maria Mayan was telling me about it. That, and then the writer was like, that's important to name because otherwise people maybe don't even realize. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's a way to highlight a problem maybe, or maybe a positive thing, mm-hmm. not always bad things, but a positive thing, and to be able to talk about it. So I think it can be very powerful, but it, again, it's also depending how you use it mm-hmm. and not to get stuck or... Yeah, but if it helps you grow and it's a process to learn your about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I was always like trying not to go into the queer, let's say, world because I kind of felt attracted by it, but I was like, oof, that means a lot of changes for me, you know? but then, yes, when I felt it was so clear that I was like, I will do whatever. I mean, I just feel it that way. Mm-hmm. Sounds very Disney now, but
beautiful. Mm. How, in general, how do you feel like when you travel to festivals, events? Maybe what are like the parts that you love and the kind of the challenges of being in festivals, super intense environments, on all regards. You know, not only the queerness part, but in general, like
in general, yeah.
social part and all that it takes to be in these spaces that have a bit of everything.
So, for example, I can say that I don't consider myself a very social person. Like some, I need my space sometimes. Like sometimes, no, a bit every day, like to go and or at least with people that is like friends and I can chill and relax. Mm. Then. It's fine. I don't need to be alone. But festivals can be very intense in that way. Like a lot of people or not having familiar space.
Yeah.
So, yes, like you, I don't think you can see me partying hard till the end of the night. I should feel it a lot, you know,
yeah.
like the band, the people I'm dancing with, my energy. I don't push it in that way. Also, I love classes and I know that one thing doesn't take the other one away, but I want to be good in class. And if I can take as well, when I work, if I can take, I do it. So yeah, I think that's a big challenge for me, like the social aspect. And then singing a party at the moment, I can say it now, I enjoy solo a lot or leading. Mm-hmm. Following, not always, like, I don't know why, but it's, I think it's more part of the growth that I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And it's more accepting that, yeah, I'm not 100% follower. Mm-hmm. I like a lot to lead, but anyways, that would be one of the challenges. But at the same time, one of the very positive things is to meet people again that you saw in another city, in another. So it's again social, but in another way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get to see the work of other people, to share my work, to see people that I've been seeing in other spaces. It's very cool. Like,
yeah.
Also, the live music is usually the highlight. Mm-hmm. So I would say these things. Also, the spaces that are being created recently about talking and listening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go and listen. But yeah, like I feel like I take more in the weekends mm-hmm. than before. Before I felt more, and again, I'm not blaming or pulling responsibilities, but I felt that myself, I was more forgiving. I go and give, I go and give, I go and give. But I feel more receiving. And so it's really nice balance.
Mm. You seem very social, but you're not like a super extroverted person, as I perceive you at least.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but I feel like dancers, I mean, probably in general, tend to be quite extroverted people more. And it's interesting because sometimes I feel like in festivals, even with like teachers or the lineup, sometimes the energy is like so high because I think a lot of people that are quite out there come together. Mm. And then it's like, I always think because I think I'm quite extroverted, but even for me, like it's quite challenging. So then I'm like, wow, what about people who are not like as loud and sometimes obnoxious as I am? Like, how does that balance?
If you look for them, they are not going to be there for sure. Just look for them. Yeah, I mean, personally, I would say I'm on the other side. I mean, I can be very, I've been called a bit of a clown lately. Like, I can make a lot of jokes and I love laughing with friends and or people that I don't know as much. But I really, like, yeah, it's not my nature, I would say. I need to feel it. Mm-hmm. And then I will go for it till the end. But usually, yeah, I don't push it. Mm. I'm not. I think for me, that's it, right? It feels like pushing. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't, you wouldn't see me being, yeah, very loud and very energetic and...
Yeah.
But dancing wise, yes. I mean, if it's, I can dance and, but then, yeah. Again, also one thing is, sometimes, I love, well, sometimes no, I usually love dancing solo, as I said before. Mm-hmm. And I get asked to dance either leading or following. And I'm like, well, would you like to dance solo? Because I feel like solo right now. And I end up dancing more alone than, mm-hmm. which is okay. I respect that. But yeah, it's also, sometimes you dance, and it's like, okay, I gave it all. I can go and rest or have a chat. But usually it's rest to be in another space and more quiet.
And it's also a way to make this sustainable. Mm. Dancing or traveling or exploring something that you know how much energy you need for things. So it's not like just go at it and then, you know, not have any energy to take class or practice or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So it's like taking care of yourself, I feel like, in a very mature way.
Well, takes experience. No. No, yeah, yeah, but it's true. That's, but you know, like in weekends like here, I feel like home and I'm very... I'm till 3 a.m. For me, that's a lot for people who know me. Yeah. But I feel very good here. So that would be a festival that I stay. Well, you see my voice. So, yeah, that depends on the situation, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. And lastly, I also want to touch upon like more like physical aspect of dance and you taking care of your dance and your body and you having like experience in physiotherapy and how does like maybe in general like how do you take care of your body as a dancer again to make it sustainable and maybe how that practice also informs your dancing and your choices.
Okay, so I've been always interested in movement and body movement and seeing how we all move in different ways. Personally, I feel like I'm very susceptible when my right or left side feel different and sometimes too much, you know, it can become like an obsession. Like I need to work more on this or that because I feel it. But I studied it, you know, and I've been working with patients. So it feels kind of a problem. Let's say like, oh, it's not the same. Let's fix it. And at the end, I know everybody, we have differences and we use the body in not in a symmetrical way. But anyways, I'm doing a training, that's training, and a practice. I mean, they call it practice at the school I go, but it feels for me training, because it's different than dancing. And yeah, there's a lot of floor work, handstand, do the bridge, more like acrobatic stuff. And I'm such a baby in there that I love it. It's always touching limits for myself and fighting with frustration a lot. And that's something that gave me a lot in the dance as well. Like physically, I feel that what I was doing before, which was only dancing, was not enough for me to feel good, you know. And then it's like if I want to be 100%, I need to feel my body 150% ready, you know? Mm. So the day I exceed or the day that I do a move that is different or something, I'm okay. And I don't want to get injured. That's something mm-hmm. that, again, in my studies is really bad. So you need to fix it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I do these trainings. Not every day. It's impossible for me. But I do every 2 days or 3 days I try. Mm-hmm. When I travel, I can't.
Mm.
But it helped me a lot in also in the classes perspective. In the I use ideas that I've been working on there. And at the end, it's like it's working on the body. So we do the same right and left. We do X repetitions on one side, the same on the other side. You see the differences, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's a time for myself to explore, look after me, and
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I really believe that dancing only, if you wanna make sure that you are okay physically, is not enough. Maybe.
No.
No.
Yeah. I think for most people, probably, isn't, unless you're in some sort of perfect balance and just...
then...
I don't know.
Then it's... They should tell us the secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, you know, when festivals is... I always said that it's the perfect combo to have an injury because mm-hmm. sleeping less, changing diet, dancing more, changing floors and stuff. I mean, it's all super cool and I think we should be able to adapt all the time. But it's a perfect combo for injuries. So I kept that in mind since I started physiotherapy and yeah.
Yeah. For the end, I have three rapid questions.
Okay. Oof.
So it's just maybe short answer, one word or a sentence. First one is, what's the best dance advice you've heard or received?
Keep doing what you're doing.
Just keep going.
Yeah, just do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. What's the worst dance advice?
What you do is wrong, or what you do is not what it should be, or because that doesn't actually give me any alternative, you know, it's like, okay, thanks for the comment, maybe, but what should I do with this? Yeah.
And how do you define success, or what is success for you?
Feeling it, being moved by it. It sounds very cliche, but being happy
mm-hmm.
when you're then satisfied and convinced.
Mm.
Yeah, I would say that this is being connecting with yourself when you're dancing is success.
Yeah.
I would say.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting.
Thank you for tuning in to What a Jazz Podcast. The episode was created together with the music of Dimitrio Papa, the visuals of Linda Vilnishkita, and the support from the Swinging Europe Network project. You can follow our updates and the new episodes on What a Jazz Facebook page. Take care, goodbye, and until next time.